to Muscle Girls, Inc., presented by RxMuscle.com. You are about to hear two of the smartest and sexiest IFBB pros tell it like it is. Here are your hosts, Colette Nelson and Chrissy Chin.
Welcome to the 10th anniversary episode of Muscle Girls, Inc. My name is Colette Nelson, IFBB professional bodybuilder, and I am joined by my super sexy 2 weeks out IFBB pro figure competitor, Chrissy Chin, over there. How are you doing, Chrissy?
I'm doing wonderful, Colette. How about yourself?
Very good. Can you believe this is our anniversary 10th episode, Chrissy?
No, I can't believe it's 10 already. I was like, 10? Is it really 10?
Yeah, 10, you know? Well, you know, let me tell you a little bit about my weekend before we kick off the show. It was nice, actually. We had I actually want to start the weekend when it started on Thursday, actually. I had like a crazy hectic day. I was in the city all day, and you get that text message. Well, you know what? We need to be gone by 9 to head to this party over at a club called Rome, which used to be Mirage out here in Long Island. I think probably the only club out here in Long Island, unfortunately. And I'm in the city, and anybody that kind of knows the Long Island commute from the city, it's like, you know, you have to plan on at least an hour. I'm like, holy shit, I've got to get my stuff together. And I managed to just basically run in, you know, did the little body spray, got some clothes on, and, you know, ran off to the club. And it was for JoJo's Vitamin Water. And I got to mention them because they're going to be a big sponsor here of RX Muscle and the radio show. And in fact, even the studio that we're building over here in Westbury, New York. So, you know, go JoJo. And, you know, that's an interesting energy drink. It's totally different from anything that I've ever seen. It actually, like, spills the formula in a very bizarre... Like, Jeff, how do you explain this thing?
Mm-hmm. So basically what happens is it, you know, you start off with just a clear bottle of water, and then I guess that the contents is, like, in the actual cap. So when you twist the cap, let's say you have, like, the orange flavor, it colors the water orange, which is very cool.
Oh,
so,
neat.
Yeah.
Oh, when you open it, it turns the color water?
Yeah.
It's pretty good. And, you know, it's got antioxidants in it. Jeff, there's no sugar in there either, right? Oh. No sugar. So it's an interesting concept. So, you know, Chrissy, I mean, drinks are huge.
That is awesome. Well, it's so great to have them on board.
So we're psyched about that. And then, you know, of course, all the Whack Pack people show up and, you know, Jeff, can you get that bullshit button for me for a second? I really appreciate this because this is so necessary in my house. In fact, I don't think I can live another day without this. And Chrissy, I'm going to give you a little demonstration of this thing because, you know, if anybody knows the Smalley Brothers or had to listen to the Whack Pack show, which is very entertaining, but, you know, everything that comes out of some of, you know, Rob or George, I have a question, you know, question whether or not it's valid. So here's what I use, Chrissy. Listen to this. You might have missed it, Chrissy.
Oh, come on now. That ain't even bullshit. That's horseshit.
What is that?
That's a little bullshit button. You know, Sarah, Jeff's girlfriend, who's, like, fabulous, she gets this for me when she was away in Texas, and she's like, Colette, I gotta get this for you because, you know, she has to listen to some of this stuff. And, I mean, Chrissy, he was telling stories outside this club that, like, you know, little, oh, God, I'm slipping here. This, what's that rapper?
Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne is coming out of a Rolls Royce, and here's Rob Smalley saying, no, that's not Lil Wayne, that's his bodyguard. Now, have you seen Lil Wayne? Who's going to have Lil Wayne as a bodyguard? Chrissy, he can't be but 5 feet tall. I mean, everything that was coming out, and he'd say, oh, no, that's not a real Rolls Royce, that's a kit car. I'm like, what am I listening to right here? You know, it was typical Smalley Brother fashion, so we had to deal with that until we just couldn't deal with it anymore, and so we left the club like a decent hour. We made our, you know, had our, you know, showed our faces, did our thing, and I found some girl on the dance floor that would dance with me. I always make up these little 8 counts, Chrissy. That's, by the way, you and I will have to tear it up one day, and
I'm up for that one.
A little bit of fun, and you know, it was an interesting little party. And
I am having flashbacks of party days. Back
I know. Yeah, according to Rob Smalley, he used to own Spratts, but whatever. I know, you should have heard it. It was out of control. You know, so you know we were visited by Arthur on Friday.
Oh, I know. And how was that visit?
That was good. We found out that we have no towels downstairs. So he wants to take a shower, and I pull it a shower. It was so funny. I mean, I have it like, it's like a washcloth. I'm like, Arthur, here you go, the towels. And Arthur comes out, wow, this is nice. And I'm like, Dave, I honestly don't know what happened to all the towels. It's a bizarre thing over here. It's like, you know, when you lose a sock, well, we lose like whole towels, you know?
They went in the linen closet? Because I found some when I was over there.
Yeah, I know. That was then. Now, like, they've all shrunk to, like, semi-washcloths. I think they, like, been caught up. It's so strange. But, yeah, they filmed actually filmed here in our mock-up studio because of just, it's a long story, Chrissy. But we got some footage, and it was, you know, of course, promoting Porn Star, and that was a very interesting experience. We're all taking Porn Star, like, amongst ourselves. So we'll leave that to the imagination of all of our listeners out there, what might have happened. But it was a good time. It's always eventful. We had another house full of people. It was crazy.
I was wondering how that visit went.
And everybody kept their clothes on, just for those listeners out there. We all did remain with clothing on. It's shocking, but true. We maintained ourselves. Well, speaking of clothing, Chrissy, what about the lingerie football tryouts? There was a casualty I want to speak of, but what happened with you?
See, I was going to try out. They have a team out here called the, I suppose, Los Angeles Temptations. And when I was visiting with you, I told you that. I was like, oh, I think I'm going to go try out for it. And they had contacted me to come try out. So I was like, oh, okay, this sounds like another fun opportunity, you know. And then I had mentioned it to Big Dave when I was there. And he's like, what? He goes, if you're serious and you want to compete, he goes, do you really want to risk injury? And I was like, now they put that way, no.
Yeah, well,
I didn't go. I didn't actually try out.
Might have been a smart move. We lost Lisa Bickles here at the New York Pro. She got hurt.
I heard, I heard she went out to try, I think, for the Denver team.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, not that I'm saying it could be you, but Chrissy, it is what it is. It's like, you know, you want to compete or you want to do high-risk activities. it's a tough call because you've been working your ass off, and then to imagine something, who knows what could happen, you know?
Yeah, I'm just glad I took the big guy's advice and decided to sit out on that one.
Yeah, you're okay. Chrissy, listen, you can come over here and we can run around in lingerie anytime. And Jeff and
no
Sean, they can film it, right, Jeff?
In studio.
He's all over it.
Yes, I'm all about that. I'm all about that.
We've got the Wontaw Park right there. Well, Chrissy, we got to go pole dance. Wait, no, you and I are first going pole dancing at Yolanda Hughes Studio first. That's number one.
We have to do that.
Number one. All right, so give me some gossip over the weekend. Anything crazy happen over there?
Nothing too crazy. I actually did another training video shoot.
Oh, good.
So I did that this past weekend, and I'm feeling good. I'm 2 weeks out now, so I was working a lot on my posing and presentation, just trying to perfect that before I step on stage and stuff. But it's getting close, so the excitement's starting running through the body, through the bloodstream.
Yeah. Any new suits for you? Like, what colors are you wearing?
Oh, new suits, definitely. Mary Christine is making my suits again this year. This year, I am going with the pink family. Last year, I did blue, so this year, I'm doing like a hot pink color.
Oh, that'll be nice. I love it.
So I should be getting them either this week or early next week, so I'm really excited. She's awesome. She is really awesome.
Nice. Well, you know, today is our 10th anniversary episode, and it's an exciting week because it's a week before the New York Pro, and we do have a special guest on today, Chrissy. A very special guest. Our board members might remember him, know him from several boards. Big J1 is going to be in the house, a.k.a.,
yay,
I'm using that a lot today, Mr. Joel Goldberg, to give his New York Pro predictions in the female bodybuilding category.
Well, it'll be great to hear from him. I haven't seen him since the Arnold when he was running frantically trying to get that boot set up.
And he's always a character. Always a character.
Definitely. Also on the show today, we have a very unique competitor, Nicole Wilkins-Lee, who actually won the overall in both fitness and figure at Team U back in 2007. So she turned pro in both.
Made history.
Yeah, so she's going to be on our show. And we also have another beauty, Felicia Romero. So she's going to come on the show today to tell us what she's been up to.
So we have lots of guests today. I mean, we got to make it special. I mean, this is our 10th anniversary. And
I know. We got some special guests. I'm excited.
And, you know, we have to take a shout out again. You know, I really appreciate everything. And I enjoyed having time with Arthur here in New York. And we can't wait to have him out here again when we get the studio fully set up. But ALRI Industries for all their support and great products. And again, I want to add JoJo's Vitamin Water onto the team here in RX Muscle, because I think that's a really good joint effort. And again, also Amy's Conquest for their continued support.
Yeah, thank you, all of them. Is JoJo's Vitamin Water based out of New York?
You know, I have to think it is based out of New York, because I know the guys have all their studio people here. So yeah, they're right out of New York, just living a dream.
Oh, awesome.
They live in a dream.
Awesome.
They're either
gonna
plan big. They're either gonna do this or they're not. Mm-hmm. You know, that's their attitude. So let's keep them on board.
You have to send me some so I can try it.
I know. Yeah, you're gonna, and no sugar, Chrissy, no calories. So that's good. We love that.
I know, especially right now.
Yeah, you can't be having anything.
Now, do you notice, I noticed this just laying on the couch the other day. When you are dieting and getting really close to show is when you see all the commercials about food.
Oh my God, I become addicted to the Food Network channel. Not that I'm not already. It's terrible.
It's like torturing yourself. And
it's food
saw
porn.
That Domino's. Oh my God, Domino's has pasta bowls now. So it's pasta put inside like pizza dough.
I saw that too. Pasta bowls. Are they kidding me with that? Think of the carb count on that.
I know.
It's like
so
wrong on several levels.
I know. And we wonder why so many people are overweight and so much obesity in the United States now.
Yep.
Well, Colette, let's move on to our next segment, our Did You Knows.
Ooh, these are good this week.
You like these. Did you like these?
Mm-hmm. They're yummy.
Okay. Well, let me start with the first one. So, Colette, believe it or not, okay? Now, this happened in New York, so I'm going to mention the restaurant, so you might want to think twice about going here, okay? It's a TGI Fridays restaurant in Clifton Park, New York.
Nice.
Okay. So now this gentleman was there eating, and he was looking through his food, and he saw like a gray-green patch, and then he turned it, and he saw these black, rotted eye sockets on top. And then he realized that it was a snake's head with the spine still attached to the head. Okay, so he's thinking he's eating some broccoli, and he finds a snake head in his food.
I mean, that is wrong on so many levels. So many levels.
I don't know what I would do.
Well, what would you do if you were living in Switzerland and a 7-year-old child finds a condom in her French fries in a McDonald's Happy Meal? And, you know, right now the investigators are worried. You know, they're finding out if the condom poses any, like, health risk. So they're doing some investigations. But, I mean, that...
It was...
A condom. What is this little kid going, what is this? You know, hey, Mom. Hey, Dad.
I know she's expecting a little toy. Did they get a toy in the Happy Meal?
Yeah.
She gets a condom.
No toy, Chrissy. The condom. It's the gift that keeps giving over there. See? And maybe, you know, I don't know.
Oh, before we roll on to the next one, we have to say happy Mother's Day. Because Mother's Day just passed, so happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Oh, my gosh, you're right. Yes, I know. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. And I know I had a little issue with, I don't even want to say the flower company, but it was just a nightmare. But it finally got there. I'm like, Mom, did you get your flowers? She's like, no, not yet. I'm like, oh, great. And I'm on the phone, like, because they were supposed to be, I wanted them there on Saturday. Whatever. They finally got there, Chrissy, like 2 minutes before 7 o'clock on Sunday.
Well, at least they got there.
They did get there, yes. So happy Mother's Day out there.
Well, the next one that we talk about here in the Did You Know actually involves a father. So listen to this one, okay? His father, by the name of Todd Markham, he used a dog collar to shock his kids. Okay, and so he actually thought this was funny to have his 4 children, which are aged...
I mean, that's not funny.
This is not funny. They're 3 years old, 6, 8, and 9. And he thought it'd be funny to shock them with a dog collar
So did he put the dog collar around their necks? And then
he shocks them. And he shocks them. So he's actually facing 4 charges of mistreatment. Yeah. And, the kids have been taken into custody, and they're with their mother right now.
Wow. That takes, we give slack about using, belts or whatever, or hitting your kids or whatever. You know that old controversy, but I mean, a shock collar, that pretty much bakes the cake, literally. So at least he's being, some criminal mistreatments at least being brought about. Oh my gosh, that's...
I think we should put a dog collar on him.
Yes,
it's really that funny.
Exactly. Well, how about this? You've got brain surgeons, which to me is the ultimate in a a neurosurgeon, you know, to me is like, they're like God, you think.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that you're working on somebody's brain.
Mm-hmm,
well,
mm-hmm.
This is two of New York, once again, highest paid surgeons. Okay. Which I clearly can see why, because it's neurosurgery. Have been suspended because they abandoned a patient in the operating room. He was anesthetized, prepped for surgery. He was shaved, ready to go, and they left him on the table. There was, you know, near the table, they had sterilized infants instruments ready to be used, and they refused to do surgery because the patient wasn't his, and no other surgeon was apparently available, and the surgery did not take place. I mean, at what point do you have ethics, Chrissy, though, and you're a doctor and you've got a patient on the table? And I mean, look, I'm sure this is a very complicated matter because it could probably go deeper than that, because all the lawsuits or whatever, it might not have been his patient. But how do you leave a guy on the table? How does that happen? That's what I'm asking. Yeah, how does that happen?
Yeah.
You're in there for surgery. You're ready to go. And how is this confusion? How is the wrong doctor with the patient?
I don't know how that happens. You always hear about these things where they operate in the wrong leg or something like that, but to literally be ready for brain surgery, have your head shaved, you're under anesthesia, and then imagine you wake up and you find out, oh, you really didn't have the surgery yet.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess this neurosurgeon is paid $7.2 million a year.
Wow.
And he's the biggest surgeon salary in the metro area, and he just said it wasn't his patient, so he's not doing it. I mean, come on. At that, I don't know.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. I think you'll really like our last Did You Know, Colette.
I know. It's okay. My favorite word.
I know. That's why I had to save the best for last, okay?
Yeah.
Now, a gentleman in Russia decides that he wants to get his penis enlarged.
There it is.
Okay. So he's complaining to doctors, oh, I'm too small, and I want my penis to grow. So instead of 5.9 inches, he decides that he wants it to be 9.8 inches.
Wow.
Okay, so 9.8 inches. So in Moscow, the doctors are like, under two surgeries, they get it done. They get it done. So he's twice as large as he used to be. And then it turns out that he comes back to the clinic later on and says, now I want to undo my penis enlargement surgery because women don't want to be with me anymore.
I mean, you know, Chrissy, this always goes back to the fact that how much do you need? You know what I mean?
I know.
Oh my gosh. You know, and I don't know about you, Chrissy, but wouldn't you be nervous? I mean, they're messing around with a very important organ. I mean, what if something went wrong?
I know.
So guys out there, listen. You don't need to go to these drastic measures. You know, it's not the size of the, I'm going to mess this paraphrase up, so I don't even want to go there, but it's not the size of the pencil. It's how you draw with it. You know what I mean? Oh my gosh.
You know, I am not lying. In high school, one of my teachers loved this line. He goes, it's not the shape or size of the vessel, it's the motion in the ocean that counts.
That's good. God, you definitely said that very well. Impressed.
See the education I got in high school?
I know. It pays off for our radio show. Well, you know, Chrissy, again, one of my favorite segments is what's in the email bag. And thank God I didn't have any bizarre phone calls. So it's no phone calls. I guess I think people might be listening to her show. They're like, I'm not going to call her anymore. She's revealing my calls on the air. But what do you got for me this week?
This week, mine starts off with, Dear Chrissy, I have seen many of your photos online and you are hot. And he spelled it H-A-W-T.
Nice.
Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. He goes, I was wondering if I bought you sexy sheer lingerie, if you would take pictures in them and send them to me. Please, please let me know because I'm a true fan of yours and of your sexy body.
Wow. What do you do, Chrissy? Do you take the offer, see what his taste is like, have him send you the lingerie?
If you know it's see-through, it's sheer.
Oh, yeah, it's sheer. Yeah, this is very true. These guys will do anything. I'm telling you, they sit there and fantasize, and they just can't control themselves, and then they start emailing these bizarre requests.
Crazy things, right?
Well, I have...
Let me hear yours.
I mean, this is maybe the largest offer I've had. I'm not sure, but I am a big fan. I love you. I will give you $20,000 U.S. to spend one night with you. You have the best body in the world and the nicest smile. When I saw your clip, I was near having a stroke.
please answer me back. So now $20,000, it doesn't really say what I have to do on this one night. You know, like, you know how your head gets a little bit screwy? You're like, $20,000. Do I just need to go on a date with you? Hey, Dave, you know, we're building this new studio. Should we negotiate with this guy? I mean, if it's just a harmless date. No, but I mean, isn't it amazing? It really wasn't that specific. It just said one night. But I mean, I'm assuming, if you're assuming what he's assuming. But
it's like that movie, that Demi Moore
yes,
movie.
Yes, it is.
Do you remember?
It could have been like the Demi Moore movie. And then, you know, you got to wonder, how do you take that money? Like, what is it, cash? I mean, then what do you do with it? You know, it would be like, even if, let's say, I would consider the idea. I mean, you really, how would you, it could be very complicated. Because, you know, you'd have to obviously report that to the IRS. I mean, it's $20,000. And then.
Yeah, you would have to definitely report that.
A little complicated there.
$20,000.
Yeah. So let's see.
You might want to find out the details. Find out the details.
Yeah, I know. So, Chrissy, if you get a better offer, let me know. We'll start. You know, the offers will get better. Chrissy's like, oh, Colette, I got $30,000. Oh, okay.
$20,000. Okay?
Right. I'm up to $20,000.
$20,000.
Let's see what, you know, the offers could get more exciting.
Well, Colette, let's go into our forum question. And this week's forum question actually comes from the women's forum on rxmuscle.com. And it comes from a very pretty lady that we both know. I actually had the pleasure of meeting her at this past Arnold when we went out to Mitchell's after the evening
show. Yeah,
And I found out she makes suits, competition suits, and I had no idea.
Chrissy, she's so good. She's so good.
That's what I've heard, and I've seen her suits. I know she makes some Hung or Sinus suits, and they're gorgeous.
She does all, mine, and she does some creative stuff with me.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know she did all yours.
Yep, all mine, too. Yep.
Well, let's roll into our question. It comes from Celeste, also known as Fit Swim by Celeste on RX Muscle, and her question is the following. I have a diet fat loss question. Is it possible to be on birth control and still be able to lose weight effectively for a contest? Because I've been trying to lose weight for a while and seem to be stuck. I am on Yaz for medical reasons. I'm a mess if I don't take it. So is it a matter of a longer contest prep or just stopping for the prep period? Hope you're doing well. Love what you and Colette are doing with this show.
Well, Chrissy, that's a really good question because I have a lot of girls that are very concerned about this because obviously getting pregnant, getting ready for a show would be much worse and more problematic than obviously taking precautions not to. So, you know, given that, sometimes the option of saying to somebody, no, you need to get off the birth control pill so that you can become harder and able to compete might not always be the best option. So given that, we have to think about the nature of what a birth control pill does. And you are giving, even though some of them now are very low dose, you are giving estrogen to the body on a daily basis. And so the nature of estrogen and what it does is it is sending signals to the body. Obviously, one of them is to not let your body weight go excessively low, because that's the wrong signal that estrogen would be sending. Because obviously, remember, we've mentioned this before on our eating disorder episode, that essential body fat for women is 10 to 12% essential. So that means we're dipping in numbers that are, I guess it would be clinically stated as unhealthy. So if you're taking a birth control pill, obviously it's going to try and stop that from happening. But again, it still goes into calories in, calories out, and energy expenditure. So you can still get to the end result, but I think it would definitely serve as being much harder. What do you think, Chrissy?
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly with you. Definitely much harder. So I think you have to be that much careful with starting your prep out a little further out. And then also making sure that you do stay right on that diet, getting all your cardio sessions in. Because I personally am taking birth control pills right now. So I know I started prep out about 15 weeks out just because I couldn't come off of them. You know, I'm taking it as a preventative measure because my doctors put it on me when I was a teenager. So they were worried about me being at risk for ovarian cancer because that's what my mom had passed from. So, you know, I make sure I get all my cardio in. I started my, like I said, 15 weeks out, and sometimes I was doing 8 to 10 weeks out, so I gave my body a little more time just to get off that fat because I know it's a little bit harder being on birth control pills.
So So you don't really have much of an experience competing without them. You've competed your whole career, more or less, on...
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
I mean, so I think people need that are listening to need to know that you can do it. Now, I am not on the birth control pill. And again, everyone still struggles, but I am also a type 1 diabetic. So I have my own struggles with obviously coordinating my insulin with food and dealing with low blood sugar. And everything. So we all choose our own battles or sometimes don't choose our own battles. But it can be done, though. You're proven that you can still compete with taking birth control pills. But I do think that you, if you are taking birth control pills, you're going to have to be that much more aware. You're going to have to be in dealing with your doctor, make sure that I think that for health purposes, you should be on these newer birth control pills are much lower dosed. And if you're on like an older school type of birth control pill, do look into some of the newer generations of birth control
pill. Yeah, there's a couple of new ones out now that I know of. So
right, that are much,
I want to check with the doctors.
Much lower in estrogen and progesterone ratio. So it can be done. You can get, you're proven that you can get up on stage and still be taking the birth control pill, but it is going to warrant a little bit of a more of a battle.
You know, Troy's like, phew, she is taking them. So there's no little Troys running around here.
Or Troyettes. But that was a great question. Please keep them coming like that. Those are really, really good. And we love the challenge of questions like that.
Yes. Thank you, Celeste. So people, keep them coming. We love getting these questions on the forums.
And with that, Chrissy, let's give our sponsor some L-O-V-E, and we will be back in 2 minutes.
Okay, see you in a bit.
Muscle Girls, Inc. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs, which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit Species Nutrition to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Hi, this is Javelle Little Bunyania, and you are listening to Muscle Girls, Inc.
Our first guest has one of the most marketable looks in the IFBB professional figure stage. She turned pro at the 2006 NPC USAs, and in her first year as a professional, she placed top 5 in each of her first 3 contests and won the Jantana Pro. She also placed an impressive 5th at this year's Arnold Classic. And besides concentrating on her pro figure career, she owns her own personal training studio in Mesa, Arizona with her boyfriend. So let's please welcome the beautiful Felicia Romero.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Felicia.
Hey.
How are you guys
doing
today?
Thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, no problem. I know. I was so excited. I know I was talking with Derek Anthony. We both work with GAT, German American Technologies, and he was really excited. And I was like, oh, awesome. Yeah, I can't wait, you know, because I've seen the website, and I've heard your guys' shows a couple times. And, you know, I was just so excited to be on, so super excited.
Great. Oh, awesome, awesome.
Yeah, but little correction. I know some changes from last year, but my ex-boyfriend and I, we actually broke up and, you know, sold a studio and that sort of thing. So, you know, we broke up and we don't have that studio anymore, but I'm still working on getting another studio probably by the end of the year and just kind of working towards that, so...
And still in the same area, though?
Yeah, still, well, a little bit more, probably 15 minutes, 20 minutes away from the old area, but so, you know, all my clients can come. But we want to target a little bit more, obviously, clients, like regular people wanting to lose weight, but a lot of contest prep girls, too. So, you know, I picked up a lot of new contest prep people this year, training for different, you know, various shows. So I also want to get kind of a stronghold in Arizona with that, so that would be awesome.
Well, Felicia, we're jumping around a little bit, but that must have been hard. Did you both own that, so you had to split up ownership?
Yeah, we both owned it for many, many years. I would say maybe around 6 years, and it grew. I mean, it was a great studio, but you know, when the relationship ended, it was just one of those things where we just had to do what was best for us. We tried working together, and it just wasn't going to work. So
yeah.
I mean, the relationship, we were never, like, nasty towards each other. It was fine. We couldn't work in those sorts of situations together, especially with some of the things that I still want to do with my fitness career. I just saw myself doing a little bit more with it. I was a little bit more, I guess, into it than he was, as far as, you know, as far, because I live it. I mean, I compete, I do this and that. So I just wanted to take it to a whole nother level. So it was amicable, and it was on good terms, and it was something that was great for the both of us to kind of just walk away from it.
So both of you walked away from this. Studio doesn't exist at all, so no one got a piece of it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, he bought me out half of the.
Oh,
studio.
He bought you. Okay, so yeah. It's existing under. He still owns this. Well,
yeah,
now it's his studio.
Name, my name's not on it anymore, and you know, I kind of wanted to focus in another area where I grew up, and so it just kind of, you know, it was better for me and for him to kind of, for me to get out of that situation.
What a strong woman. That is hard. That is so hard. You could have easily stayed there.
Oh yeah, it was hard. You know, I knew though. I mean, I'm very strong willed, and I work very, very hard, and I know that eventually I will get my studio. I'm actually working towards that again by the end of the year, and if I just stay focused and keep my mind on it, you know, I know that it can happen again. So that's kind of what I'm working towards.
Hey, Chrissy,
do it.
Chrissy, don't we love to just break into the controversy right away? You know, right in the intro, just break into the real drama.
I know the drama of Felicia's life.
I love Felicia. It, though. We have that weird way of doing that.
Once you get your studio going, you have to let us know, and then we'll make the announcement here on Muscle Girl Bank, so everyone knows where you can be found for training and everything.
I'm just training for the Arnold right now and just trying to get all that situated, looking at different buildings and getting studio equipment and stuff like that. I definitely want to have, like, a place for athletes to come to and have, like, a little mini stage where we can do a lot of figure posing.
I love it.
It's just going to be all around, you know, for regular people, clients, and contest people. So it'll be kind of cool.
Well, that is awesome. Felicia, we wanted to ask you, Colette and I always, we talked about one show, how we first got started into competitions, but how did you first get turned on to figure competitions?
Well, I was working out. I worked out at Gold's Gym. This was back in, like, oh gosh, maybe 04. And I saw, you know how you just see one of those signs at the gym for a local show? And I was like,
yes.
I kind of inquired about it, and I asked another trainer about it. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's, you know, NPC figure show. And I was like, oh, that'd be kind of cool. He's like, you should do it. You have, like, a physique for it, you know, because I've always played sports. I played softball at ASU, and I've always been very athletic. So I've always had kind of the broader shoulder build and, you know, just that sort of physique. I always used to get confused. People used to think I was like a gymnast or something, but I wasn't. I was just an athlete. And so I was like, oh, that'd be kind of cool. So I actually went online. I went on bodybuilding.com, and there's like doing all my research and stuff. And I was like, oh, well, this would be really cool. You know, and I did all my own diet. I mean, I, you know, my suit, everything. And I went out there, my very first NPC show, and I got third place. And I was like so excited. But after I did that first show, I was like hooked. You know, I think you do the show, and there are some girls that love it and continue doing it. And there's some that are like, I'm glad I did it once, and I'm never doing it again. Well, for me, it was just something that was so rewarding. And I loved the way my body changed, and I loved the outcome. And I loved, too, the aftermath of getting to work towards something. You know, I've always liked working towards something. So that's kind of what pulled me in. So and ever since then, I've been competing.
Yeah, it's a love-hate relationship with competing. I know
it is. You know,
love it or you hate it. You either enjoy the masochistic pain that's involved, in time, you know, or not. And it can definitely, it's that journey. It's the journey.
Yeah, it's a journey, definitely. Over the years, I've definitely changed my mindset to where I actually am not fighting the process. I'm enjoying it and I'm embracing the process and embracing the changes and the ups and downs and knowing that there will be hard days, you know, and good days, but knowing that the general outcome will be awesome. Like, I would say training for the Arnolds was by far the hardest show that I've ever trained for, because it was kind of like after the Olympias last year in 08, it was a slap in the face for me, because I was like, oh gosh, I work so hard, but I keep getting the same thing. My legs, you know, they're not big enough, or they're not shapely enough, or this or that. And I was just really frustrated, you know, not being able to place well at bigger shows like the Olympia. You know, I can do well at the smaller pro shows, but these bigger shows, I just can't seem to crack in the top 10. So it was just kind of like fueled my fire. You know, it didn't make me want to give up by any means. It just made me want to work harder. And man, training for the Arnold was just like the hardest show that I've ever trained for. So I was definitely pleased with the outcome.
Well, Felicia, there's somebody that actually speaks faster than I do. It's amazing. I never thought it. It's taken me years to try and calm down. And I'm now that I'm on a radio show, I have to.
Yeah,
I never thought I'd meet another human being. I love it. Although for the listener, I'm like, I'm my soothing voice now that you know, if you know I can do it, anybody can do it. I'm just teasing you, Felicia. Felicia, when did you start working with Kim Otto?
I started working with Kim back, it was actually in 06. I did my third show. It was the Orange County Classic in California, and I got second place that show. Now, 06 was the year that I turned pro, but I remember I was out there at that show in April, and I met Kim for the first time, and we got to talking, and, you know, I kind of inquired about his, you know, training and his philosophy and that sort of thing. So started working with him. He got me ready for the USAs that year, and I turned pro at my first, you know, national show. So I was definitely excited. It was a shock, but I was excited. I mean, I didn't know what to expect at all. I just knew I got my pro card, and from that, I didn't quite know what happens after that. But I was just like, oh my gosh, like it was a whirlwind. So it was definitely a good experience.
Great.
Well, Felicia, your hard work definitely paid off, because when I saw you in the Arnold stage share, I was like, wow, you've made tremendous improvements. So I give major love over to you. But, you know, a lot of women look at you on stage and they're like, wow, she looks awesome. So give our listeners a little idea about a typical day in your life when you're prepping for a show in terms of your cardio, your training, and your diet.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, it changes, each week, as you know, as the changes, as food comes out or cardio increases or this or that. But generally, you know, in the beginning of a prep, depending on where my body fat is now, over the past couple of years, I've been able to keep my body fat a little bit lower in the off season. And so I'm about, you know, no more than 8 pounds away from contest prep, you know, from my contest weight. And so the cardio has been a lot easier, which is good. You know, I haven't had to kill myself in cardio and strip away all the muscle that I had built. So very low intense. Beginning of prep, I'll start out, you know, I'll get up in the morning and I'll do like my morning cardio. You know, usually I start out about 35, 40 minutes, and then I'll train my clients, and then I'll do like my afternoon workout. And if I do extra cardio, obviously later on in the contest prep, I'll add a little bit more cardio, and I'll usually do that after my weights. But generally, I'll get up to maybe an hour and a half, hour 45 minutes of cardio. Sometimes two, depending on where you know I have pockets of fat here or there, or where my body's at. But the diet's very easy. The contest prep part of it's very easy, I think, because I've gotten smarter in the off season. You know, I don't really have an off season. I guess year round, I'm just kind of always prepping for something. So, you know, I always have a plan in the gym. I never just work out just to work out. I'm always working out for a purpose.
Is your diet more of a mixed diet, or do you do carb cycling, keto diet?
Of it is like right after a show. You know, we keep away from the carbs after a show, just so that my body doesn't rebound too badly, and then we'll start introducing carbs back in for breakfast and maybe for like my third meal or fourth meal, and then definitely like pre and post workout drinks, like you know, Waxy Maze products, that sort of thing, and that serves as my carb as well because of the starch. So definitely carb cycling on certain days. You know, obviously I need to bring my legs up a little bit, so I get a little bit specific type foods on those days, and specific type foods like or carbs like the waxy maize, or I get some steak and salmon for dinner, that sort of thing. So it's very specific, you know, as far as my contest and my off-season stuff. But in the off-season, it's still pretty clean. I just get a little bit more carbs in the off-season, whereas contest prep, it's more of more fat.
Well, you're like me, and you and I had a little bit of a conversation, and in the fact that here you are, you turned pro in 2006. You got to first say, wow, you win 3 pro shows, and then...
Yeah, I've won 3 pro shows.
Right, then you're put on... Then you really see what you're made of when you're put on that Olympia and Arnold stage. I know because I was really killed, okay, when I did it. I mean, killed. And again, my problem, and I, like I say this, it's nothing personal. And this becomes personal. If you can't take it, then don't become a physique athlete of any essence because, look, I am who I am, and I know what the truth is. And when they say to me, Colette, I am sorry, your symmetry is a little off. Your legs are not as big as your upper body. It is the truth.
Yep.
And it's up to me, and I'm taking time off, and I actually may not compete this year because it's just the fact of finally being able to finally see changes and recognizing that, okay, this is what I have to do to be better and actually step on the stage and actually do some damage. Now, you've been told similar things. What are you doing to make the changes? And I believe it's, again, like you're talking about, we're talking about legs here.
Well, you know, there's a current article out in Muscle and Fitness, HERS, and it's my leg training article with me and Kim Odo, and we really just, you know, after the Arnold, after I placed 5th, I sat down with JM, who's my manager with Fitness Management Group, JM Mannion, and he's like, you know, let's just rest you the rest of the summer, because my main problem over the past couple of years is doing too many shows.
Right.
You know, doing too many shows through the summer, where when it comes Olympia time, it's like, what happened? Where did this go? Where did your muscle go? You know, so it's like, after the Arnold, like, okay, let's just rest the rest of the summer and get the necessary, you know, necessary changes that we need to make for your legs, and that's basically the growth, you know, the growth period, you know. And so right now it's just very, very low cardio. My food and my nutrients are quite different. Taking, you know, obviously supplements, I get a pre-workout drink, a post-workout drink, and then I drink usually an amino acid or waxy maize drink during the workout as well. So I'm getting an influx of the BCAAs, and then I go straight to my legs. But the training is completely different, and my mindset is completely different than it ever was, because I think, I don't know, really, just after the Olympia last year, it was almost just kind of a slap in the face to me, and it fueled my fire to just want to work harder. And I knew, yeah, you're right, I was in denial. Even the current article says, I never wanted to look at pictures of my legs. I never wanted to really just face the fact that, wow, this is a body part that's not good, and I need to bring it up, you know?
It hurts. It's personal. Yeah, it hurts. It does
so
hurt.
I had to sit down and look at pictures and look over the past 2 years of how my physique was and what I wanted to do, and I had to just face the fact that, you know, I knew that my legs were lagging. I knew, but I was in denial about it, but it was one of those things where I didn't know what to do to get them where they needed to go.
Are you training them twice a week, 3 times a week?
Yeah,
are you doing
twice a week, but my training was completely off. I was doing, like, too much of, you know, too high intensity, too this. I just knew what I just did what I knew how to, you know, what to do. I didn't know how to train to build. So it was one of those things where I just had to seriously just sit down and say, okay, this is what I needed to do, you know, and I had to just not be in denial anymore and face the fact that to make those changes, it's going to be a little uncomfortable. It's going to be hard, but it's worth it in the end. And it was worth it, you know, stepping on the Arnold stage and being so comfortable in my skin and knowing that I had made the necessary improvements. And I know that I still have more improvements to make for the Olympia, but it felt so good.
But that's what it's about in essence, like why I love bodybuilding, figure fitness. It doesn't matter. It's the same thing. It's never being satisfied, and I think that you can never be satisfied. I mean, that's what makes you, that's what fuels the fire in the gym, you know, looking at your body, and you know, it's like a piece of clay, and if you were perfect and there's nothing to do, I guess it would be like, you know, you're just going through the motions. It's kind of you sense the fire in your heart, and to get in there and get something done and see the changes and make changes in your body.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, and I think it's just great to see someone that, you know, took her feedback and took a positive step towards it and made improvements and then placed top five at the Arnold.
Chrissy, totally. I know so many people, like, I have spent hours, and I know you probably did, with competitors that after a show, they're like, I don't understand. There was absolutely nothing wrong with me. I was better. Yeah, and it's just this nippy, step outside of yourself. And and how are you going to be better if you don't, if you're not able to critique yourself? Or
exactly.
I mean, if you're perfect, then you're never going to make the changes necessary to be better.
Definitely. Yeah, that's one thing I've never done. I've never blamed other people. I've never blamed judges or trainers or this or that. I knew it was all on me, and that's why after the Olympia I had to take matters into my own hands and just really work hard. You know, I had to be focused. I had to, you know, get those tools necessary to make those changes. And you know, it's just one of those things. It was all on me. It was not going to be anybody else.
And you're prepping right now for the Olympia, right, Felicia?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to look forward to seeing you on stage for sure.
Yeah, I'm so excited. This will be my third Olympia. This is the first time where I'm not doing tons of shows over the summer, so I'm getting some good rest.
Oh, you're going to look great.
You know, and I'm training really hard in the gym, and I'm really excited.
And we can find that workout in Muscle and Fitness. Hers, what issue is that? Is it this?
It's the current issue out. I believe it's the May-June
issue. May-June issue? Cool.
The article, it's funny because the name of the article is called Romero Wasn't Built in a Day.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, that's cute.
It's cute.
Yeah.
Comes up with this stuff. It's good.
I know.
Felicia, I wanted to ask you, I saw this beautiful picture of you on heartbody.com from the Flex shoot that you just did, the Flex swimsuit shoot.
Yes.
So I was wondering, how was that experience? And first, congrats on making the cover once again. Felicia's
thank
on the cover
so
again, Claude.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my gosh.
A Flex this month? She's on the cover of this month?
The swimsuit issue. Oh. Yeah, she's on the cover again.
Nice.
Yeah, this was the second, my second cover with Flex. For the swimsuit issue, it was such a it was the most memorable shoot that I've ever done, just because it was up in the snow in Big Bear, and we you know, shooting in the snow in bikinis, and but it was amazing, such a fun experience. All the girls were so nice. It was my third time shooting with Jess Paxson. I mean, she's just amazing. But all the girls are just, I mean, it was so fun, and we were kind of, you know, in a cabin like setting, and it was really close knit, and it was a lot of fun. It was a blast. It was long days, hard days. Terry was amazing, Elaine Goodlad, Nancy Jambazian. It was so fun, but definitely seeing the pictures and seeing the behind the scenes, and I don't know if you guys go on flexonline.com and see like some of the behind the scenes gallery.
I will have
stuff,
to do that.
It truly,
yeah, they have videos up too now.
Yeah, they have videos of all the girls. Mm-hmm. Like, it truly was that fun.
Do you ever look at your pictures and like, wow, that's me? I still do that.
My mom does that. She's like, wait, I don't know if that's you.
Yeah, it's
like,
not you.
Right. And then like her own daughter.
I'm at shows. Ask people. And Chrissy, I'm at shows. People are like, is that you in the picture? Yeah, yeah, it's me. Thanks. You know what I mean? No, it's my sister.
I'm like, really? I feel like I disappoint people like when they meet me.
I know.
Oh, sorry.
Wait a minute.
It's a magazine, so
Well, Felicia, look, you're one of the people that people aspire to be in this industry, because you're getting covers of magazines, and you're getting a lot of publicity in the magazines with obviously like your leg training. Mm-hmm. Now, you're even more fortunate because you're one of the few that actually has a contract with a very well-recognized supplement company, GATT, German-American Technologies. Yeah. Let's talk about GATT. Let's talk about some of the products that you're representing. And I just have to say this for that company. They do such a great job of promoting their athletes. And it's,
oh my gosh,
like I say, I'm not going to mention other supplement companies, but it's a shame with big names and they just don't utilize them enough. And I think that part of the game is because this helps you, your career along your life, you know, endeavors. And this publicity is great. So let's talk a little bit about German-American.
Well, GAT, German-American Technologies, has been amazing to me. They are such a great company, working with everybody who's on the team. You know, Derek Anthony, now Eugene, he's on the team. Charles Moser, who's the owner, they're all just amazing people. But I'm having such a good time with them. You know, they just came out with a new protein called Muscle-Teen. It's awesome. I've been taking it. I love their vanilla.
Yeah, Derek tells me about it. He's like, Colette, you're going to die.
It's insane. Like, it is so good. It's just so good tasting. And then the Jet Fuel, you know, and I usually prescribe all the Jet Fuel to, you know, I recommend it to all my clients or emails that I get. I get tons of emails, even girls who see the Oxygen magazine and see the ad for jet fuel.
I'm sure they love the fact that hydroxycuts is now off the market, so that opens up the window for another.
Tons of emails of girls like, oh, I use jet fuel, and you know, I love it, and you know, I've gotten such great results on it, and it's been really, really good. But yeah, I love working with them, and you know, working with them for another year is going to be going to be great. So I've been really happy to be and fortunate to be working with them.
Now, are you going to be doing any booths that you can mention where you're going to be representing German American and what other?
I'm not sure of some of the booths this summer. I'm sure I'll be working at some of the different shows, but I know the Olympia for sure. You know, always the big shows.
Right.
But last year we were at the Europa, which I'm not sure if they're going to have another booth this year. I'm sure they will. So yeah, just roundabout throughout the summer, just kind of wherever they need me. But I'm not quite sure of the schedule quite yet. But I know the big shows like the Olympia and that sort of thing will definitely be at.
Great.
Yeah. So yeah, they've been great, and man, you have to try their protein. It's amazing.
What flavors they have in their protein?
So good. Vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry.
Great.
The vanilla is my favorite. It's so good. I usually have it for my one of my snacks, like my second or my fourth meal, and I'll just like blend it in like a magic bullet, and I'll put like a tablespoon of peanut butter and a scoop of that.
Yum.
And that's all you need. Sometimes with the protein, you maybe need to add a little bit of Splenda or something to sweeten it up. Mm-hmm. It's like perfect.
Oh, that's great.
It's really good.
Felicia, you're getting me hungry.
I know, right? Right.
You know you're dieting if someone's talking about protein shakes and you're getting hungry.
No, exactly.
Like, ooh, that's the greatest thing ever. It's like a chocolate chip cookie.
Next weekend at the Cal. I'm so excited for you.
Oh, thank you. And you're going to be there, right?
Yes, I will be there. I actually have a little athlete in the NPC show that I'm helping out. And so, but I was going to go up there anyways. You know, it's so close to where I live. It's literally 6 hours drive. So I'll be up there, and I can't wait to see you on stage. I'm so excited.
Chrissy, you better go kick ass, Chrissy.
I'm trying. I'm working hard now, ladies. I'm working real hard.
She missed the lingerie audition for this, so you bet, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That football lingerie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, Felicia, I was going to try out for that lingerie football league. Did you hear about that they have now?
Yes.
Yeah, but Heather Mae French actually made the Denver team. So I was there's a Los Angeles team. So I was like, I'll try out for it. You know, I was at Colette and Dave's house, and I told them, I was like, hey, I'm going to go try out for the Los Angeles Temptations, you know?
Uh-huh.
And Dave's like, do you really want to risk getting hurt? And I was like, forget it.
Yeah, that's one thing that scares me. You know, like, my mom's always wanted me to play, like, the little teams here, like co-ed softball or this or that. I'm like, I don't know.
No, you could clearly get hurt, though. You really could.
When you're training for something, mm-hmm. you could easily, sprain your ankle or break an arm. Or I've seen so many injuries, and I would hate for something like that to deter me from going to the Olympia, you know? So, yeah.
Felicia, I wanted you to mention your website and tell people your website address so that they get more information about you and other projects that you might be working on for this year.
Definitely. Well, it's FeliciaRomero.com, so it's just my name.com. And yeah, you know, I do a lot of contest prep stuff and nutritional stuff and that sort of thing. But yeah, and you know, it has my email, so girls can email me directly from the website and everything like that. So
you've got, you do contest prep, you do email consults as well.
And all of that.
And you'll have information on your studio when that opens up on there as well.
Yes, definitely. Imagine. Whenever we get that going and, you know, as it gets closer near completion date, yeah, that will definitely be up there.
Well, Felicia,
and keep us posted on that.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, you are such an inspiration to people in this industry because this is what they dream for. I mean, they dream for the covers of magazines and supplement contracts, and it just keep being such a good role model because that's really important. Our sport is very jaded at times, and it's nice to see someone, you know, make it happen for themselves and be real and give back to the industry.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Thank you. Yeah, I definitely enjoy what I do, and I love, you know, that's my number one passion. Honestly, I got started with training, you know, just training girls and people who wanted to lose weight because I truly love helping people, you know, and when you live it and then you inspire others because, you know, you live it and you're passionate about it, that is so rewarding, you know, and when I help a lot of my athletes get on stage and, you know, I help them out, they're so proud and I know their feeling because I go through those feelings.
Yep.
So it's the best, and I would want, you know, anyone to feel that, you know, that sort of accomplishment, and it's great. I love what I do, and I'm very, very passionate about it.
Well, what is in store for you the remainder of 2009? I think you answered the question, but is the main goal here getting on that Olympia stage?
Yeah, that's what I'm focused on. I mean, after the Olympia last year, the Arnold was on my mind, and that's all I was thinking and trained for and, you know, wanting to get in that top six.
And what are you going for then? Top six, or you really want to get into that? I mean, do you see in that visualization, because I think visualization is very important. Do you see that top three?
All the time. You know, honestly, I'm, you know, for me, my own personal goal, just thinking of me, I want to be in that top three spot.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. We're always so afraid of that. No, I just really want to show up. I mean, not really. I mean,
look, tell the truth.
Right. Like, I mean, come on. You know, if I step back on stage, look, I'm a realist. I know what I'm up against with these girls because they're quite impressive. But I mean, come on. It's like, oh yeah, I'd really love to get 14th place. Yeah, right. You know.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I mean, I get the reality of it, but still.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. I want to be practical as well, and I know that if I can make the necessary changes, you know, with my legs, I could bring that package, and I'm hoping to bring that package. I know I can bring that package. So,
Felicia.
Yeah, that's what I'm shooting for, and that's what I have visualized in my head.
You know, Felicia, look at where you were at the Olympia and how you felt, and look at where you came out on at the Arnold on top.
Yeah,
you know, and you look awesome.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, just to be up there, and no one expected me to even be in the top 10 at the Arnold.
I know. Is that
so to go out there and make those changes and just to kind of surprise people, that's kind of what I want to do for the Olympia. I know I can, so that's what I have in my head, what I'm focused for. So.
Well, Felicia, listen, me and Chrissy will be in the audience, right? Chrissy is neck and neck writing down our notes again. We are so good at that.
For a wrap up. This year. Come on.
Oh, that's true. You might. I'm going to be solo, Chrissy. Thanks. Oh, my gosh, the pressure. Yeah, no, you do have to make it. You got to get on that stage. But hopefully, I'll see both of you ladies on there.
Yes, definitely.
And I really look forward to it. And again, Felicia, keep us, you know, we are here. We're here to promote the women. Keep us up to date. You've got our emails. Let us know what you're doing. And, you know, we'd love to have you back on. As we say, you know, Muscle Girls Inc. is right here for you. So
definitely. Well, thank you so much for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, you're
I love talking to you guys. And it was so nice to talk to you, Chrissy.
Awesome, Felicia.
I know, I always like seeing you throughout the year. So I'm going to see you in a couple weeks. So that'll be fun.
Muscle Girls Inc. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, author L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit SpeciesNutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise, up-to-the-minute news, and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RxMuscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com. Come on.
Hello, this is Sandy Williamson, and you are listening to Muscle Girls, Inc.
This woman can quarter turn like the best of them, and then turn around and do a back handspring all in the same contest. She is one of the few competitors to successfully compete as both an IFBB pro figure competitor and pro fitness athlete. She turned pro at the 2018 Universe by winning the overall in both divisions, I believe making history. The future looks bright for this multi-talented and very beautiful figure fitness pro. Muscle Girls, Inc. welcomes Nicole Wilkins-Lee. Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
Am I right about that? I think you do make history. I don't think anybody else has ever done that.
No, there's been a couple girls who have gotten their pro card in both at the same show, but no one's ever won the overall in both at the same show, so that was the first time.
History making. See, Chrissy, I didn't screw up the intro this time. We're writing these things. You know, we try and write these really great promos, and we get some of the information wrong sometimes. Like, sorry, it was on your website, so we got it right this time. It's so good. Well, you know, speaking of figure and fitness, let's kind of jump into something that I was really curious about. Here you are. You're talented in both divisions. Here, and you're at the Arnold Classic this past year. How do you determine, say, okay, well, this is the show. I'm going to compete as a figure competitor versus a fitness competitor?
Last year at the Arnold, I did figure because I wanted to take a little bit more time and work on my routine. So I ended up qualifying for both. And we decided to do the Figure Olympia last year, and this year we wanted to see how I would do against the veterans in fitness by putting in for fitness at the Arnold. So it was kind of a mutual discussion between Kim Otto, my trainer, and JM, my manager, and just wanted to kind of see how things would go. So that's basically how the decision was made.
So that's how it almost does that work like almost all your shows, or can you? I'm going to ask you a silly question. So if you were to do just a regular regional show, well, not, I guess they're not regional, but a national show. Say you were to do the New York Pro, maybe, which you just did actually, that would say have both figure and fitness. Could you do both or no?
No, you can only pick one or the other at each show that you enter.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And so you have to, you pretty much, what, talk to JM and talk to Kim and say, okay, well, at this show I want to do this, when this show I'll do this?
Right.
Wow, at least you have so many, you have no limitations. The only thing left is for you to do bodybuilding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I think it was kind of, it depends on when the show is laid out too. We decided to do the New York show because it was pretty close after the Arnold, and I had already been doing my routine. And then 2 weekends back-to-back in fitness, I wasn't really sure how well I'd perform the second show, so we decided to put in figure in Orlando. So that's kind of how that worked out. Gotcha. And I had done New York Pro Fitness last year, and I really liked the venue. That's where I won my pro card, so I feel really comfortable with the stage. That was also a deciding factor as well.
Great.
Well, I think that Orlando was a good move because congratulations, you got your first pro figure win there.
Yeah, it was awesome. Thank you.
I was wondering, so after prejudging, you're in Orlando at the Europa, you're competing with Monica Brand, who's been a industry icon for a number of years now. Did you think you were going to win that show after prejudging?
I had no idea. I knew that I was going to be in the top four at least. I was in first call-outs both rounds. But, you know, when I first started competing, Monica Brandt was the body that I always wanted. You know, I was like, oh, I want to be like her. She was definitely an icon, an idol of mine. And to be on stage with her was the first time I ever had competed against her. So that was awesome, amazing, you know, to just stand up there and then to be called out and, you know, compared against her. I was just hoping to place top three so that I would get that Olympia qualification. But to win, that was a shocker.
You know, let's talk a little bit about your support system. So, you know, we have your Kim Otto, and mm-hmm. How long have you been working with him?
I started working with him at the end of 2006.
And you turned pro at what year?
2007.
Okay, so he was instrumental probably in your whole career, more or less.
Well, I started competing in 2003.
And, oh, wow, okay.
I took a year and a half off during that, in 2004/2005, and I had always done my own contest prep with my now husband, And I just kind of felt like if I was going to do nationals and wanted to do well, I needed another eye on me. I needed somebody to guide me in the right direction. And I just loved the way that he brought in his girls. He seemed like a very approachable guy. And from when I first talked to him, he's been awesome. Probably one of the best decisions I've made. And yeah, it's been working with him ever since.
You know, I have to agree. I mean, your husband obviously is very supportive because you said he was your trainer prior to Kim.
It was more like a training partner. We kind of worked together on everything, but yeah.
But don't you think?
We just went and did it on our own because he had competed in bodybuilding and, you know, he knew the basics, so.
But I think, like, look, it's very hard for me living with Dave because he does prep athletes. But I have to be honest with you, and look, he'll probably listen to this. I really don't care because it's really the truth. It's very difficult. It's almost like I need to have somebody else help me. And it's too close. It's too personal. It affects me emotionally, and I need to hear the truth. And I don't have a problem hearing it, but it just is like, it's somebody, he's somebody that I love. It really depends upon the woman too and how it's all done. But Dave is very, very critical. Chrissy, you know I'm right about this.
Oh, he's very honest.
And it hurts. I could handle it if it was somebody not so close to me.
I agree. Well, the other part of it too is if you're working with someone and you're doing part of it on your own, you're like, oh my gosh, am I looking right? You're like constantly overanalyzing every little detail, and it's just nice to have that person, like you said, that isn't around you 24/7, that can see you on a, you know, once a week or whatever, and say, you know, this is what we need to do, and kind of it totally relieves stress, all the little things that you don't have to.
It relieves stress, you know, in a relationship too. I mean, Chrissy, Troy could help you, but it's better to have somebody outside of the relationship take a look at you, be the one to say do this, do that, and the other thing, because in a relationship, it's just, I think it just gets too complicated.
I agree.
Yeah, me too. You know, Troy actually used to do my prep before I started working with Dave.
Right. So, and then?
And then he was like, you know what? He goes, maybe you should have someone else to have, like, you know, an outside pair of eyes look over you and, you know, do everything for you. So, you know, he's the one that sort of pushed me into the direction of working with Dave, and I'm glad I did. But it does make it a lot easier in the home.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. Yep.
Well, Nicole, we had Felicia on earlier today, and we asked her about her experience with the Flex swimsuit shoot. And you are also on the cover, so congratulations to you also. I love that cover, the three of you. You guys look gorgeous.
Thank you.
But I was wondering if you can please tell us about how your experience was with that shoot.
Well, this was the first year I ever shot for the Flex swimsuit edition, and it was in a different surrounding than normal bathing suit shots are done, but it was really, really nice. All the girls got along. They took us to Big Bear Mountain, which is in California, which you'd think would be 70, 80 degree weather, but it was about 50 degrees, and they brought in snow because it was above freezing. The snow that they had there had melted, and it was a 2-day shoot from 7 to midnight both days. And we got to stay in this cabin and just kind of hang out with everyone. And I don't know, I had a blast. I think the cover was great because Felicia is figure. Monique is bikini now. And then I'm in fitness as well as figure. But it had kind of all three, and two dark hair and blonde. And it was nice.
Yeah, it was hot.
Yeah, I think the cover worked really well.
And Felicia, how did you get to be a part of that? How does that work? I think people want to know, because they're sitting there listening. How could it be me? Is it because you're working with JM, and does that help you to secure such a gig, or does Flex contact you? I mean, how does this come about?
Actually, Flex contacts me. I worked with Flex in 2006 for the body shop. That was before I was even signed with JM. So I think competing nationally and getting yourself out there is the best way to get recognition, to get these modeling jobs. And if they like your look, they'll get in contact with you. And if you are a pretty girl and you can model and you are pleasant to work with, most of the time they'll call you back. And I think that's part of the reason they may have chose me and a lot of the other girls that were at the shoot, because they had worked with us before. And I think they, you know, I That's the best I can tell you. I don't really know. They like to have a mix of different looks. And
I think the key is you're a pleasure to work with. I know that I've done like things throughout my career, and some people have a prima donna attitude, and I think that is who they are or whatever they think they are, but it never seems to pay off to be like that. I don't even care if you're in Hollywood. It's we all bleed. We all have blood. We all hurt. Nobody's better than anybody else. That's always been my attitude across the board. That's why I'm not really a person that ever idols anyone, because we're all the same. We just choose a different path. And I think just, you know, if you're a joy to work with, that's going to go so much further than if you come in there with a prima donna attitude.
I agree.
That's something for people to think about, because I see that all the time. And it's like, come on, bring it down a level.
Right.
Nicole, we talked about that you had won the Europa show in Orlando, and now you're obviously qualified for the Olympia for figure. So are you going to wait for the Olympia to compete, or are you going to jump back on stage to do a fitness or a figure pro show?
I'm going to do the Atlantic City in September, 2 weeks before the Olympia, as kind of a warm-up show before the Olympia. I always tend to look better the second show, so... I think after this short off season, that's what the plan is. And New Jersey's not too far from Michigan, so.
And you're from Michigan?
Yep.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that. Christy, did you know
that?
Yeah, I'm from Michigan. What part of Michigan?
I live in Sterling Heights.
Well, I'm originally from Royal Oak, and my parents live in Waterford, so you're eastern. Yeah.
We're right at 16 and Mound, so we're only 10 miles away from Royal Oak.
Yeah, I have to be truthful this weekend. You know, Dave was away, and when Dave's away, unfortunately, look, I love food. I'm a total food addict. Chrissy, Detroit has some of the best Middle Eastern food, right or wrong, Nicole? I don't know if you like Middle Eastern food.
They do. I love Middle Eastern food.
Thank you. So, Jeff, I'm sorry. It was a bad weekend for me diet-wise. But I got a falafel and hummus and made this brutally good sandwich. But it made me think of Detroit. I was talking to my parents in Detroit. It's Mother's Day, the whole thing. And I got these crazy... because Detroit has a very high Lebanese population, and they have the best Middle Eastern food in the world.
They do.
Just
yeah,
have
I
to
agree.
Plug it. Because everyone's being really down on Detroit, because it's just going, it's got definitely doomsday economy situation, but it can come back because it's got really good Middle Eastern food. So I'm a dreamer. Oh, God.
Yeah, you just got to be optimistic.
So talk to me about your studio, being that Detroit, I mean, truthfully, though, Detroit is in a really bad place economic-wise, and you're co-owner of a studio, Top Shape Fitness, am I right?
Yep, that's right.
How is that doing in Detroit? I mean, how do you see fitness, and how do you see the economy over there? Does that impact you at all?
Well, our studio is about 20 minutes north of Detroit, so we're kind of right in the middle of where GM, Ford, Chrysler, all that big three is. It is kind of somber some days. You know, you never really know who's going to get their job, who's going to have their job next week, but I think... our studio and our trainers are so close-knit that it's a family in there. And we've been open for almost, well, it'll be 5 years next April. And we've had clients that have stayed with us from the very beginning. So that's super important for us to keep those clients, the longevity of the people that we work with. And, you know, you get people that come in for a short time and go and then come back and... we've been doing awesome. I can't complain. It's one-on-one training only. We don't sell membership fees, and our prices are way more reasonable
than
a lot of that.
How can we contact you? What's your website? You can even put your phone number if you want to for your training studio.
Our training studio is tsfstudio.com, and we're in the process of revamping our website within this year. So the pictures on there are a little old, but if you contact me at nicolewilkins.com, I can give you all the information you need to know if you're in the area.
So it's NicoleWilkins.com, and then T as in Tom, or T as in top, S as in shape, and F as in fitness, .com. And they can get in touch with you about your training studio. And what city is that in, then, if it's a little bit outside of Detroit?
It's in Sterling Heights.
Oh, it's still in Sterling Heights? Okay, because, you know, that's what I think about. You know, I'm from Royal Oak, too, so I was like, that's 20 minutes outside of the city. It could be there, too.
Yep, our studio is, like, 2 miles away from my house.
That is amazing. That is amazing.
Yeah, it makes it easier when you live so close to where you work.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how many clients do you have a day?
I train on average between 8 and 12 hours each day.
Wow.
And then I have a few online clients. So I'm busy. I'm there all day. I try not to go there before 8 o'clock because I get out of there at 9. And then I have hours in the afternoon where I do my lift.
I was going to say, you have to train.
I come in the morning at like 5 or 6, and the whole studio is to myself. So I can blast radio, and I can do my cardio on my own, and then I go home and get ready for work. And then the studio is usually open about 7.
What about those early morning clients? I used to have to train people at like 5:30 in the morning. They love these early...
Wow. Well, sometimes some of our trainers train that early, but majority of the clients that we have start at 7.
That's amazing.
And I don't go on any earlier than 8.
Right. Well, no, you're competing. You also have to think about you and what you need to do for you. That's
right.
Otherwise, it becomes even a greater challenge.
Just no way. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Nicole, you co-own that training studio with your husband, Alan, correct?
Right.
And how is it working together as being a couple married?
It's not bad. I mean, we've been working together before we got married, and because we're so with our, you know, one-on-one with our clients all day long, we don't really converse too often during the first day, but we're both really easygoing people, and I have no problem.
So do you just bring your food with you all day? Is that what you do? You kind of cook on Sunday and just bring your food for the week? How do you keep
I usually cook 2 to 3 times a week. And I always have my cooler with me everywhere I go.
Right, I mean...
We have a refrigerator and a microwave at the studio, so that makes it easier. But I've gotten used to eating cold chicken and cold fish.
I know, you just have to suspend reality. I tell people when I help them for diets, I'm like, look, we have to realize we have to separate the emotional reasons why we eat. It's just for sustenance. It's, you know, you're eating
you
for a job.
Right, purpose, yeah. Yes.
Because it's, you know, I'm an emotional eater, absolutely, and it's always a challenge. You know, it's only food. I tell people it's only food. A chocolate chip cookie will taste just as good today as it will 6 months from now. It's the beauty of it, absolute beauty of it.
Right. Thank you. Is it really worth it to have that? Well, is it really going to taste as good as it? You know.
Right.
I think it might, and normally it's not.
Yep, it's so true. So now, you kind of mentioned your plans. You're going to do the Atlantic City, which is 2 weeks before the Olympia,
mm-hmm.
and then the Olympia, and that is the major plans. Is there anything else exciting, even outside of competing, that's happening in 2009 for you?
Well, in October, it'll be a 1-year anniversary. We got married last October.
Oh, exciting.
So that's kind of cool. Maybe after the Olympia, we might go on a 5-day cruise or something like that.
No, you should. We don't take enough time for, like, our relationships. I know that's my problem right now, but hint, hint, Dave, if you're listening.
Troy, too, if you're listening.
Right? They're workaholics.
Yeah, I've done so much traveling this year. I'm kind of looking forward to just enjoying the summer, and I think we have a canoeing trip at the end of June that we're going to go with our families, so that'll be fun. But, yeah, that's about it. It's finally getting nice here. It's sunny and 70 on a regular basis.
Yeah, Michigan is brutal. Like, in the winter, it's brutal. I remember
it's cold winters, right?
Where did you go, Nicole, for undergrad?
For undergrad, I went to Oakland University.
Okay, yep, Oakland's great school. I was in Michigan State, so it got so cold there one time that they canceled classes. That's how cold Michigan can get.
Yeah, if the wind chill factor is below 20 degrees, they'll cancel school.
Yeah. That's how...
Wind chill below 20 degrees?
Chrissy, it's brutal cold. It's cold like you've never felt before. It's bone chilling, as my parents would say. Bone chilling out there.
We got a lot of snow this year, too.
Oh, I know. My parents were like, oh, God. But, you know, the summer in Michigan is amazing. I don't care what anybody says. With all the Great Lakes, it's amazing.
Yeah. You know, it's not too hot. It's not too cold. In the summer, you got that cool breeze, so that's nice. The spring plays a lot of tricks on you because it'll snow, and then it'll be 50 degrees for a couple days, and then it'll snow again. So it's, you know, it gives you that glimpse of summer, and then it takes it back.
Yep, so true. Well, that's Nicole, we really appreciate you being on the show today and sharing with us all your plans for 2009. And a little bit about, I love talking Michigan stories, so that was really pleasurable for me. And we really wish you the best of luck. You're an exciting competitor. It's you made history. You'll never know when we're going to see you doing figure fitness. It's just exciting.
Well, thank you very much. And Chrissy, good luck to you.
And you're competing in like a week or two, right?
Yeah, Chrissy's.
Yeah, 2 weeks, just under 2 weeks now. So I'm almost there. I'm almost there. And Colette keeps talking about food. I think she's trying to torture me.
I know, man. Don't you want to get that falafel hummus sandwich? So good. Well, Nicole, thank you. And enjoy some Middle Eastern food for me in like September. What would that be? October 2nd or something? You can really fire it up. Lashish.
Thank you, Nicole. Yeah. Take care.
Muscle Girls, Inc.
ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit SpeciesNutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Hi, this is Debbie Leszewski, IFBB Pro. You're listening to Muscle Girls, Inc.
Our final guest here on our 10th episode of Muscle Girls, Inc. is somebody near and dear to my heart. He's the Chief Operating Officer of Species Nutrition. He has followed the sport of female bodybuilding since its inception. He is a board member of RX Muscle and always has something to say when it comes to female bodybuilding. He is here today to talk about his predictions for the New York Pro Female Bodybuilding Show, sponsored by none other than Species Nutrition. Please welcome Mr. Big J One to the house.
I love that intro.
How do you answer an intro like that? Hi, guys and girls.
Well, Joel, you know, we had you on here. Should we refer to you as Big J One or Joel?
Oh, I don't care either way.
So if it just slips out either way, Chrissy, we'll just we'll go with it.
How about Cutie Pie?
Cutie Pie works. You know, we had you here today because you are legendary on the boards as Big J One and making these rather good and pretty precise predictions about how the show outcome is going to go. But Joel, talk to us about how do you come up with this and how are you so good at what you do?
Well, let me give you a little background. My first Miss Olympia that I went to was 1982, won by Carla Dunlap. My first bodybuilding show for women was 1980. So that's 29 years ago. So one of the things that is helpful is that I know a lot about the sport and watch the judging changes and know a lot about the women who do the sport. The other thing that's helpful is as an inveterate low life and gambler, I have a history going back to my dad in predicting horse races, and I have done some professional handicapping in horse races. So what happens is you take a combination of knowing the women, being able to evaluate past performances, head-to-head competitions, and the current criteria, and then throw it all together, and have one last thing going for me, and that is that I'm willing to take the crap that comes from actually saying somebody's going to be third instead of fourth, fifth instead of eighth. And if you looked at my BlackBerry, I think I have 17 or 18 of the phone numbers of the 22 women who are competing and speak to many of them. And unfortunately, that means that 19 of them, the ones who I don't predict first, second, third, will be quite pissed off at me. But they get over it. I try and tell them I'm not judging them. I'm judging the judges.
Right.
I think people take it too personally when they see predictions. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Well, I do it for fun. I do it because it's a test against how it actually comes out. And we will have, with one person, of course, remaining nameless, but you would know if you're aboard ho who it is, that I've been physically threatened and screamed and yelled at by both husband and competitor for predicting someone fifth instead of third. And I think the person actually, I predicted them fifth, they came in sixth, and I think they actually blame me. But it happens. This is a sport, and you guys both know this, and Colette maybe a little more than Chrissy. People have to really, really believe that they're going to do really, really well. Or why bother?
Right.
You know, if you didn't believe that you could come in the top three, qualify for the Olympia, come in the top five, why would you diet for 18 weeks, deplete yourself, spend money? We all know it's a money loser. You don't make money. It costs more for the hotel than the second place woman's going to make in New York.
Right.
And I'm sponsoring it, and it costs that much. But why would you do all that if you didn't actually believe you could really, really do well?
And I think just to keep the pain that might come or backlash from this, really, Joel, I think based on what you said, you're looking at past performance. You have so many different criteria, which is the reason why you place somebody where they place. It might not be necessarily where Joel would place him if Joel was the judge, because I know that would be different.
That's for sure.
Right? It would be a totally different outcome. So just
I'd have Chrissy number one.
Right. So with that said,
man, you have to judge in 2 weeks then.
We got to get him out there, Chrissy. We got to get him out there.
They don't let me judge anymore.
Well, Joel, you had an interesting, you just mentioned the number of girls' numbers on the BlackBerry, but how many of these girls, I know that you do managing, promotions, websites, I know you and I have worked on a couple of websites. How many of the girls, actually, do you communicate with or have helped in the past on that panel?
Well, let's see. I'd say that I probably have had some business or personal dealings with 13 or 14 out of the 22.
Wow.
And that runs in a big gamut of relationships. But there are very few people I don't know. Basically, the ones with stable management who have a good job and can make money and a stable home life are the people that I don't know. And we all know how few of those are.
No, but Joel is really good. Now, what people don't understand is, you know, Joel does our chief operating at Speech & Nutrition. There's nobody that knows numbers better than Joel. He is unbelievable, Chrissy. He has a way of looking at your life. He's one of those, like, life coaches people, and says, okay, here's how we can maximize this area of your life where you can make more money. And who doesn't want to do that? And I've seen him do that with a lot of girls. And he's actually sat down with me before and said, look, Colette, you doing this, I was teaching these aerobics classes, actually. It was costing me more in gas than it was to, you know, it just, he's very logical. So that is, you know, something to
I remember the first financial plan I did for a female bodybuilder was at Perkins Pancake House, and I used crayons in the back of a napkin. But it's a funny thing. The other thing you have to have in this industry is the ability not to judge.
Right.
Because not all, you know, you're talking about pros who can't make any money competing. So they have to do other things in order to make their finances work. So you can't be judging what someone does. Everyone has their own skills. Not everybody's a doctor, a pharmacist, a lawyer. You know, that's what we do in regards to that.
Well, Joel, let's jump right into what we're talking about here. And it's the New York Pro this weekend, and we're talking predictions. So Do you want to go down the list? I think we had it. Let's talk first off. How many women do we have for certain in this show?
Okay.
With contracts in.
You got it. We got 22 contracts in. And at the time of this taping, there's 5 more hours to get your contract in. At close of business on Monday the 11th is the deadline. Now, this is also, if you look at the boards, another thing I've talked about. The fact that the deadlines are now the 11th. Is very interesting, creates a lot of dynamics, because some of the, I think we're going to get some interesting concepts with more international women committing earlier because they have to have their tickets right. and their hotels, and more American women having the advantage of waiting to see the kind of condition that they're in before they make the commitment. I think we may also, and this is not the case, and I know for a fact it's not the case in the 2 injury withdrawals we have for the show, which is Lisa Bickles and Saskia Salamink, but we may start getting the, I think I'm going to come in 15th plays blues, you know, as to where people don't send in contracts or withdraw from competitions. But let's see how that goes in the next couple of competitions.
Now, do we have any word, Joel, that they are going to pose the top 15 or just pose the top 5? Do we know anything?
Last year, they posed everybody.
Okay.
Okay, and there were 19 pros last year. There were 20, but Fabi had a personal... Antoine had a personal emergency, but they were 19, and they did pose everyone. Now, this year, there are 22, which I think was the question you had asked before. I have heard a couple of other names, and I'll keep my ears open in the next 5 hours to see if contracts come in, but there are officially 22 women in the show.
So they may pose everybody, which makes for...
I think they might pose everybody. Yeah. It's only a 2-minute posing routine,
right?
So not a 3. So I'm hoping they pose everybody. My guess is if they don't, it'll probably be the judged people, which would be top 15.
Top 15.
So, but it's unknown. It'll depend on timing and a few other things. In case anybody listens to this, there is a athlete, anybody in the show, there is an athletes meeting at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. Steve Weinberger, the promoter, he runs a 1-day show. It's a 1-day show. He doesn't even want to see you before that. And if it's only pros, of course, no height classes, no weight classes. So the need to have a meeting before 9 o'clock that day, there is no need. Prejudging starts at 11. It's at the Tribeca Theater. So I think there are tickets still available for prejudging. So now, 22 people. First, let me state this. The New York Pro Show is an open qualification. It means that you only have to do is be an IFBB pro who has paid their dues, and you file a contract, and you're in. There is not an invitational like the international or a qualifier like the Olympia. So the Olympia and the international have their choice of people, while this is an open qualifier. 9 women have qualified for the 2009 Olympia as of this date from the international and from last year's Olympia. Iris Kyle, Yaxeni Oroquin, Lisa Auckland, Diana Cadeau, Heather Armbrust, Isabel Terrell, Debbie Leshefsky, Betty Viana, and Kathy LaFrancois. Of those 9, only Kathy LaFrancois is doing this show.
So given that, they're taking the top 3, correct?
That's correct. And again, this is a little complicated because of the on-again, off-again nature of the Tampa show, right. which is now on-again. They will take the 9 that are qualified, 3 each from the next 3 shows, New York, Tampa, and Atlantic City.
So what if Kathy, which we'll talk about, what if she wins, Joel?
Well, the bylaws of the IFBB with regards to Olympia qualification state that if there are 3 or more open shows, that no one is getting a place if they're 4th or 5th, only the top 3 qualify, and if someone is already qualified, tough luck. So,
that's a shame. It's such as whatever. That's a whole nother show.
Well,
you know?
Look, the Olympia is what it is because they pay for your air, they pay right. for your hotel, and it's not there. It's not in their best interest to have 20 or 25 right. people. It's best to have a nice tight show of between 15 and 18. So, gotcha. If Kathy comes in the top 3 in this show, there would be 17, unless of course there's other top 3 qualifiers, and if there's other top pre-qualifiers or already qualified, there could be even less than 17 in the Olympia. Now, for all of you who are going to start a big conversation about Isabel Terrell, at the time that Isabel Terrell got a exemption, coming in seventh place in the international, got an exemption for the Olympia. There was no Tampa show. So if there was no Tampa show, the rules would have stated that the seventh place finisher, not just the top six in the international, got into the Olympia. And the Tampa show, she was given an invitation, and then the Tampa show was reinstated. So that's the story, if anyone wants to quibble on Isabel's story. But she is qualified, and there are nine qualified.
Now, Joel, when you start these predictions, do you want to just start with the worst case scenario, the people that are not going to make the top 15, and we'll go from there?
Well, let's get this straight so I don't get killed.
Yeah, you're going to get killed.
It's not the people. It's not the people.
We don't want him killed, Colette, all right? We need him around.
Yeah. Listen, Colette, let's be semantically clear. It's the people who I don't predict in the top 15, not the ones who are not going to come in the top 15.
Right. That was really poor wording. I'm really burying you right now.
I absolutely don't want anybody to think that I have anything to do with this other than to make a prediction. So, but I will do that. I'm going to give you the 16th, what I believe would be the 16th through 22nd people. And they would be Marcy Magnos of France. They would be Marika Johansson of Sweden and now California. Juicy Caputo of Italy. Fabi Antoine of Belgium, Maria Bustamante of Puerto Rico, Maria Seguro of Mexico. And of those names that I gave you, and I think that's seven names, I believe that the highest ranking of those are the person who will be 16th, although as you all know, they don't judge or give numbers past 15. But I believe that Marcy Magnos would be the 16th.
Well, Marika's very good though, Joel. Well, she could slide in there. You never know.
Marika has had 20 months where she hasn't competed, and anyone can slide in on a higher level. I'm going to go over, before I do the top 15, how I do this. And Marika's last contests were 14th in the heavyweight class of 2007 Atlantic City,
right.
5th in the heavyweight class of the 2007 Europa, and did not place in the 06 Atlantic City. So while Marika is a really super competitor, I'm going to remind all the bodybuilders that every single bodybuilder in this world looks fabulous standing by themselves.
Everybody wins Miss Olympia.
It's
by themselves. People have said it to me, "Oh, Colette." I'm like, "Nah, you don't even know. Have you seen Iris?" You know, right.
this is so tough and so difficult, and even the 110th women bodybuilder on a pro level is going to look damn good standing by themselves. So the only reason that Marika would be placed at this kind of level is because somebody looks at the field and sees 16 people that have beat her before or are better. No other reason. And the one thing that I can never guess, and I had Debbie Leshefsky ninth in the international.
And she was second place.
And she came in second. If someone has a groundbreaking or career-changing performance, that can never be predicted. Remember, I don't look at progress pictures. I don't see the girls in advance at all. Now, occasionally I'll make a change, like after I see a weigh-in, but there's no weigh-ins for this show. The first time, unless I'm pro-tanning them, the first time that I see any of these women will be at the contest. So that's why someone like Marika is very hard to place, because you know she's a quality bodybuilder. Look at Maria Seguro. 10 years ago, in 1998, you would have placed her third in this kind of show.
Right.
But the judging criteria have changed. You know, they're not looking for the super thickly muscled, you know, shorter, massive girls. And
she, in my mind, would probably be next to Tazzy, but Tazzy, even muscle to muscle, height to height, could be one of the most muscular girls on the stage, is Maria Seguro.
Well, she may be the most muscular girl on the stage. Yeah. However, she was also the most muscular girl on the stage at the International, was placed last.
Oh, yeah.
It's not what they're looking for. And I think she speaks no English. And I think that what she needs, and she is a quality bodybuilder, she needs somebody to explain to her what the current criteria are in a method that you can understand.
Right.
So let me give you what I believe, going backwards from 15 to 1, will be the predictions. This is the first time that I've done this. My thread is up, but only as to far as to who the top
15
were.
And we can find this thread on RX Muscle where?
RXMuscle.com in the women's section. And it may be picked up by other forums, such as Sioux Country. I don't know. But this is, I only post on RXMuscle.com right now. Unless someone's ragging on Species, then I'll post anywhere.
All right, that's my boy.
All right. predicted for 15th place from Canada, I predicted Nadia Nardi. Now, Nadia is one of the smaller competitors with regards to weight. She was a middleweight when she qualified for pro status, and she only competed in one other show and was 10th place in the lightweight class at the Atlantic City in 07. Took the entire year of 08 off for injury. So one might think she would even, this might even be a high placing for her. She might actually surprise, because she is a queen of conditioning when she gets ready. And if she can get into the shape that she got into to win the Canadians, there's a strong chance that I've placed her too low. But she has to show it to me, because we haven't seen it from her on the pro stage. Projected at 14th place from Sweden, Irene Anderson. And Irene is a late bloomer. She got her pro card in 2006 at 42 years old.
Wow.
By winning the Swedish Masters. And again, the pro qualifying in Europe is very different. That's for another show. But Irene is now starting to get into what they're looking for on the pro level.
And she's gotten better, Joel.
Well, she has improved.
She does get better and meets more of what the new criteria is, I think.
She was 15th at the Tampa, 5th in the Europa in heavyweight, and 12th in the Atlantic City. And she's now gotten into, I do some work with her on a coaching basis, not training, and she's gotten into listening to what the judges have to say, trying to bring in her shape more streamlined. One of the issues in European competitors is a blocky waist issue, and she's really worked on that, and I think that she could come in 14th or a little bit higher. Now remember, this is everybody at their best.
Right.
People don't always come in at their best. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't know that. In fact, there are people I've seen who came in, for example, Isabel, I don't want to repeat Isabel, but Isabel in the 08 Atlantic City, who I think on Thursday would have won it, and then by Saturday came in sixth.
Right.
So it's a very difficult preparation phase. And for 13th place, I have projected Claudia Partenza. Now, again, this is a little bit of a reach, but Claudia did come in 7th in last year's Tampa and was 5th in the Europa lightweight class of 08. Claudia is also a person who only speaks Italian, and we've been trying to get through to her for a long time. The symmetry issue she makes and the presentation issue for her. Conditioning, she is sick in her conditioning.
She is. Yep.
She is working with the master guru, are all of our bosses, and she is unbelievably shredded and in sick condition. However, we have to see if she's brought up the symmetry from the prior things. Her legs were magnificent. Her upper body was lagging. And let's see it. If she brings it, she could even be higher than the 13th place. For 12th place, I pick... Now, you asked me the difference between projections and what I like as a bodybuilder.
Right.
The person I'm picking in 12th, I would never vote lower than first in a competition they were in, because I happen to think she has the most gorgeous physique, attitude, presentation,
marketability.
Posing, marketability. That's Tony.
Beauty.
Tony Norman Thompson. Tony has 3 jobs, all professional, is a wonderful human being, just a wonderful
and a great poser, I might add, too, Joel.
Possibly second only to Colette Nelson on the pro level. Well, actually, we might have a top 3 issue now with Sheila Black making pro.
Yeah.
But Tony is a fabulous person. However, since the 07 Sacramento, where she won the lightweight class, her placings in 07 and 08 have been slipping. I kind of think it's because she's doing too many different other things between the firefighting, the emergency room nursing, and going to college for her master's.
Wow.
And I don't know that this year's preparation has been any more or less focused, but I'm predicting Tony for 12th, and I'm praying that she comes in higher. 11th place, I'm projecting Species' own Bev DiRenzo. Bev qualified in 07, competed in one show at the Tampa, and came in 8th at the Open Class Tampa last year. Again, when you have very few competitions, like Debbie Leshefsky, it's very hard to know what kind of condition the person's going to come in. Bev is a quality athlete, a wonderful competitor. Also, I'm sure you're going to see a couple of hand flips, and some handsprings on stage. She's a gymnast. The problem is that without a bigger resume on the pro level, don't know exactly where to place her.
But again, you never know. Chrissy, it's like these breakout competitors. You never know if they just have something that the judges seem to like that day. You never know, Joel.
Well, that brings us to our top 10. If you accept the fact that the top 9 who've already qualified for the Olympia are at some level, these top 10 would be the 11th to 18th ranked bodybuilders in the entire 11th to 20th ranked bodybuilders in the entire world, and they're here in the New York show ready to show off and do their thing for us. And in 10th place will be my most controversial pick on the low side, and I hope that my personal relationship and the fact that I care about her greatly will save me when Rose Jennings finds out that I projected her 10th. Now, this is one where I have gone away from the head-to-head comparisons and gone to my third level, which is criteria. Rose came in 3rd place last year.
Right, so that's...
And there are people who came in below her last year that I have predicted for above. Dina Westerfield being one, Debbie Bramwell being another. But I'm finding that Rose's physique...
She's one of the more muscular girls too.
At 5'1" or 5'2" and 150 or 145 pounds, basically Rose has been told, you are the anti-criteria candidate. You are the bodybuilder of the 90s and the early 2000s. And she's had to make personal decisions as to whether to come in heavily muscled or to cut back on some of that muscle. She's a smart girl. She's a personal trainer. She knows what to do. If she chose to come in 125, 130 pounds.
But it's not how Rose likes to be Rose.
And at 44 years old, and as a strong, independent island woman, no one's going to tell Rose Jennings how she's going to come in. And what's the difference to her? If she comes in 4th, she makes 0. If she comes in 10th, she makes 0. If she comes in 3rd, she makes $1,000, which doesn't cover her airfare. And after a 12th finish in the international and a 15th finish in the Olympia, I think the judges are going to treat her unkindly. However, Rose is also smart enough to know to change her shape, and we'll see if she makes some subtle adjustments. And she is a New Yorker,
right?
From Barbados to Brooklyn.
She has a good history at this show, Joel.
She's won it before.
Yeah, she's won the show in 05. I was there with her when she did that.
Yeah.
She placed 3rd. It's strange. New York does sometimes break the rules on criteria.
And
I've seen it before.
And this would be the exception to breaking the rules. However, as with each of the ones above that we talk about, someone's going to have to tell me who and why she's going to beat the girl above. And if you just look at it that way, like, why would she be 10th and somebody else 9th? It's hard to place her higher because we have someone, Debbie Bramwell, in 9th place. And Debbie, even though she came in 13th in the 08 Olympia, did beat Rose by 2 places in the 08 Olympia. Rose did come in 15th.
Right.
And Debbie is...
Debbie, I hear, is retardedly shredded right now.
Well...
That's what I understand.
Debbie is also on the Master Guru program. And Debbie is claiming that this is the best condition of her life.
And she is doing a posing routine. I did choreograph, and it is an insane posing routine.
Oh, Colette Nelson choreographed?
Yes.
Let's move her up to 7th.
Yeah, no, it is a good... Chrissy, if you get a chance, it'll probably be on YouTube. Joel, it is it's really, I mean, you want to cry when you see this movie. It just moves you. It's a good
you know
routine.
What? I saw Debbie at the Arnold, and she told me, I'm working with Dave now, and she's so excited, and she was looking great back at the Arnold.
Oh, no,
so I'm really super excited to see what she brings to the stage.
I would not be surprised if she finished significantly higher. Mm-hmm. Debbie has some symmetry issues that have to be corrected, and at a late stage, since she did qualify for pro at the Masters, it will be interesting to see if the best condition of her life in a shredded condition improved or exacerbated her symmetry issues.
Right.
We're going to see it. We don't know it. You can't tell. Because sometimes, and this is not to be said for Debbie because it's not the truth in her case, when you take a bodybuilder that has symmetry issues and put them in better shape, the symmetry issues get worse. And right. Sometimes the better shape helps to correct the symmetry mm-hmm. issues. And we'll find that out less than a week from today.
Yep.
All right, and then in eighth place, we have someone who cannot logically be placed in any position. And that's the problem you have with someone whose first show it is. If you have someone whose first show it is, first pro show, you don't know where they fit. You don't know where they can come in. You have no idea, and it's all a complete guess. But I'm placing Diana Tennell Standback in eighth place. And the reason I'm doing this is what I call the Nicole Ball theory. And that is that certain people right now exactly fit the criteria that they're looking for. And if you ask Sandy Rinaldi Williamson or Jim Mannion what the criteria were based upon, 20% less muscle and aesthetic muscle.
Yeah, she's so very, Chrissy, she won the Nationals this past year. She's a very middleweight, right, Joel?
Middleweight. She won the Nationals at middleweight.
Smaller competitor, what you
smaller
saying?
Competitor.
Probably one of the smaller girls on the stage.
She will be. She
right.
will be.
But gorgeous.
And
just long black hair, stunning, different look. It's
she has that exotic kind of look, of a mixed, like an Amer Eurasian, like a Tiger Woods kind of look. The only person I know of in the fitness industry who can easily be said to be more gorgeous than her is Chrissy.
Yeah.
So
it's the only one.
You're just too flattering. I just Joel's want great. Joel on the show all the time.
I know.
But Diana is my pick for eighth, and if she comes in off condition, the size difference and everything
could
else
be
would be devastating.
Devastating.
Devastating. Mm-hmm. A funny story about Diana Tennell. I spoke to her on the phone a couple weeks ago, asking her if she minded that I was going to actually predict her somewhere. Would she like to be a little higher, a little lower? Would she be emotionally affected? She said, I'm just happy to compete. And then she started telling me about that someone else had written an article saying that Diana and her boyfriend, and I think she told me the name was Scott Taylor, who I think is a national competitor, like came in third in the USA's or something this year. And she said somebody had written an article, and they didn't bother to ask her if it was a if it was known fact. Shame, shame, Lonnie Teeper. But she said, I'm really thankful that you asked me. And I said, you know, I've been involved in women's bodybuilding for 27 years, and I have to tell you a big secret about Big J1. I don't know who the freak Scott Taylor is. And I said, and if you tell me anyone other than maybe Jay Cutler, and they compete on the men's side, I don't know who they are either.
Right,
this is
right.
just not Big J1's level of interest. So let's move to number seven. And number seven is another interesting case. And that is a person who qualified first for their pro card in 1991. So let's see, that's 18 years ago.
Yeah, Chrissy, we mentioned her on our show.
And hasn't competed since the 2004 Olympia, when there are even weight classes in the show. And she came in fourth in the lightweight class in the Olympia, off of winning the lightweight class in a show that doesn't even exist anymore. The what was it called? The Show of Strength show, or the
right.
strength? I don't even know what. And then seventh place in the lightweight class of the 03 lightweight, and that's Nancy Lewis. So for all of you people who want to start trouble, rag on Big J1, do all this stuff, you can look at the circumstances regarding Nancy's retirement from bodybuilding in 04 and 05. They were not pleasant. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of contention at that time. She felt she wasn't being treated fairly. She felt there might be some non-judging related influences. And I haven't spoken to her subsequently. It would be a wonderful interview for you guys to have. But for some reason, she's decided to come back in her mid-40s and show what she has again. How the heck can you place this person? I have no idea. We've seen people come back after 4 or 5 years and do well, or people like Valentina come back after 4 or 5 years and do lousy. No way to know.
No
but
way to
she
know.
Was such
she
a
was good.
She was such a good competitor.
Chrissy, she's got one of these really tiny waists.
Yeah, you know, like the 18-inch waist mm-hmm. with a V taper that make you look like you're 5'8".
I'm
going
to try and get
5'1".
Her on the show, Joel, when I'm there.
Well, that would be very yeah. smart because she always was well spoken, educated, mm-hmm. and
she has opinions too. We love that.
And a wonderful competitor. But again, with Diana Tinel at 8 and Nancy Lewis at 7, either of them could come a couple places higher or a bunch mm-hmm. of places lower. Depends on the conditioning. And that'll bring us to, drum roll, our top six. Okay. In the top six, again, bodybuilding right now has big girls and small girls and medium-sized girls and conditioned girls and gorgeous women and criteria women, and they all have to be evaluated against each other. For example, one of the competitors said to me yesterday when I told her, you know, when she saw that I had placed her out of the top 15, she said, you know, I'm a big girl, but you have big girls in the top 15 also. I said, yes, but the big girls I have in the top 15 have come in the top 6, 7, or 8 in the Olympias.
Right.
And it's going to be very difficult for a good little girl to beat a good big girl if the mm-hmm. good big girl meets the criteria. 20% less muscle, aesthetic muscle, which brings me to my sixth placed competitor, Tazzy Collum. Now, Tazzy is only 1 year less a pro than Nancy Lewis. She qualified in 1992. But Tazzy, when she qualified, was in her mid-20s. And at this point in time, we've seen up and down performances from Taz. Number one in the 07 Europa heavyweight class, where she looked beyond fabulous. She looked like she had lost 10, 11 years of age. You know, she had some rough times in the early 2000s, and she looked like she was 10 years younger. And then, of course, coming to the 2007 Olympian, she cut off all her hair.
I know.
It came out with 1-inch spiked hair, and the judges rewarded by placing her 11th. But remember, 11th in the Olympia is 11th in the world.
No, exactly.
You know, and then 12th in this year's international. If Tazzy is at her best ever, and she told me, in fact, today, that she's having trouble. She thinks she's too small. And we say, Tazzy, they're looking for
that's what they want for Tazzy,
muscle.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, I had 2 Snickers bars, and I can't even keep any weight on. And so we'll see how it looks. But Tazzy could easily come in top 3 at her best. But for this show, with the other competitors who are in there, I place Tazzy in 6th. 5th place. And this may be a bit of a reach, and this girl has to come in top shape to come in 5th, but I've never seen her not in top shape. I would say the surprise of the last 2 years, 07 in a runaway victory in the USA's, which was unpredictable, excuse me, and in 08 in winning the Tampa lightweight division, the Europa lightweight division, Jennifer Sedia. Now, I've never seen Jennifer out of shape. She is a wonderful human being. She's a nice person. She has the Benny Lopez seal of approval, if that means something to Colette. And Jen also came in 10th place in the 08 Olympia. So 10th place in the 08 Olympia, where the top 6 have all qualified and are not in this show, is amazingly good. And in fact, I think that that number 3, 4, and 5 are going to be incredibly close competition. They're effectively the same bodybuilder in different packages, number 3, 4, and 5. And at 5, I predicted Jennifer. At 4, I predicted Dina Westerfield. And at 3, I predicted Jeannie Paparoni. And this is almost the same bodybuilder
right. Those
3 times.
Yeah.
And this goes all the way back, Colette, to a show you are really familiar with, which is the 06 Europa.
Right.
Where Jennifer, you and Jeannie Paperoni, you and Dina knocked heads for 2, 3, and 4.
Right.
So very close, very much the same kind of bodybuilder. Okay, Joel, now you're going all this about how you do this and how you do that. So how do you separate those three? Well, let's look at the 3, 4, and 5. Jeannie in 3, Dina in 4, Jennifer at 5. Jennifer did not compete in the New York Pro, but last year's New York Pro, Jeannie was 2nd and Dina was 4th.
Right.
In last year's Olympia, Jeannie was 9th and Jennifer was 10th. So the only question you have here is, where do you place Dina in between Dina, Jennifer, and Jeannie? And I think the 9th place finish in the international is what gives Dina a little bit higher rating, because she has made significant improvements in her physique. Dina was a classic asymmetrical bodybuilder, upper body and legs, and has made improvements and will continue to make improvements, I hope, because the funny thing is that she's only competed, as opposed to Debbie Bramwell's competed in near 100 shows in her career. Dina's only competed in 9 bodybuilding shows in her entire career.
Right.
Made pro in her 5th show, and this is only her 4th competition. So even though of an age, she's 37, 38 years old, in bodybuilding age, she's a little younger. So I put her in the middle of Jeannie, Dina, and Jennifer. And, you know, that's going to be a very sad placing if it comes true for my friend Dina, because, again, will not qualify for the Olympia, where, similar to the 07 Jantana, when she came in 2nd in the class and they took 1, or last year's New York Pro, where she came in 4th in the class and they took 3. So I'm hoping for my friend, the good doctor, that she does come in 2nd or 3rd. I'm predicting her in 4th. Now, Jeannie Paperone came in 9th place in the Olympia this year, and the people I picked above her came in 7th place and 6th place in the Olympia. Jeannie came in 2nd in the New York Pro, and one of the two people I've picked above her came in 1st and beat her last year. Unless something changes, either an off condition by one or a great condition by another, there'd be no reason to put her above number 2, Betty Pariso. Now, Betty Pariso at number 2 would be an interesting and controversial pick. For all you Yankee fans out there, we have Mariano Rivera at 39 years old, who for the last 2 games has given up home runs, and everybody's starting to say how he's done. You know, but you know, he never gave up 3 home runs in 2 games, and you don't know when a bodybuilder is done. Betty's 53. Betty's 53 years old, and she's a grandmother. However, 2 years ago, she came in 4th in the international, and the year before that, she came in 6th in the Olympia.
She's been a consistent top sixer.
She is a consistent, and I'm not ready to say that Betty Pariso is done. And her last 2 competitions were disappointing: a 7th at the Olympia, not being an automatic requalifier, and withdrawing due to illness at the international, again not requalifying, and having to go into the open ranks to requalify. So if she goes into the open ranks at her best, she is a top 3 competitor in any contest you would ever have, other than potentially the Miss Olympia. And I don't know. I haven't seen her prep. I saw some pictures about...
Joel, she's always in shape. She stays 10, 12 pounds off contest weight.
She passed out awards at her show, the Orlando Europa. And she is a... well liked by the judges and the promoters, because she is a co-promoter. She is the woman's rep, and I'm not prepared to say that the judges will place her any lower than 2nd. And that leaves 1st place Kathy LaFrancois, last year's winner, the only person qualified. I am not going to get on any broadcast and say that she doesn't deserve to get out there and get her $3,000 if she comes in 1st, that she should leave a spot for somebody else. Baloney. This is a pro competition. You are able to enter anything you want. If she feels she can get ready 3 times a year, God bless her. You know, many women can't get ready for bodybuilding shows 3 times a year. But if she can and comes in top shape, both her 8th place finish in the international and her 6th place finish in last year's Olympia and her 1st place finish in last year's New York Pro would indicate that she should be the champion.
And with bodybuilding, they love to repeat. It's like Lisa Auckland winning forever the Atlantic City Pro Show. Well, they seem to like to do that.
You know, but it's interesting because Kathy is among the smaller women in height. She is among the lighter women in weight. And this is the criteria. This is what no one can say. She's not cute as a button and gorgeous, you know. And this is what the face of bodybuilding, I believe, is now. I believe it's the cut down Debbie Leshefsky. I believe it's the Kathy LaFrancoise. I believe it's the Diana Tanells, the Nicole Balls. And then everybody can jump on me and say, well, what about Iris Kyle? Well, in the words of Ric Flair, to be the champ, you got to beat the champ. And Iris is going to be the champ until she decides to retire or beats herself. Because you can't just say that the whole face of what you're looking for in bodybuilding has changed. So all kudos to Iris. She will still be my favorite for the Olympia, no matter who qualifies for the darn thing. And she will be there, by the way, and presenting one of the awards at the show for Species.
Oh, cool.
So Iris will be there. Betty Viana will be there. I don't even know the full list of the people who will be there, but it's going to be a heck of a show. Let me run down the names for you, and then I'll throw in a shocker at the end. Okay?
A
big J1 shocker.
Oh.
Okay? So, Kathy LaFrancois, 1, Betty Pariso, 2, Jeannie Paperone, 3, Dina Westerfield, 4, Jennifer Sedia, 5, Tazzy Colum, 6, Nancy Lewis, 7, Diana Tanell, 8, Debbie Bramwell, 9, Rose Jennings, 10, Bev Dorenzo, 11, Toni Norman, 12, Claudia Partenza, 13, Irene Anderson, 14, and Nadia Nardi, 15. And here's my shocker. I think that the judges are going to do something different here. And even though that's what the projections would say, that's what the head-to-head comparisons are going to say, I'm going to say, and I'm going to pose both of these projections up, I'm going to say that Kathy will win, that Jeannie will come in second, Dina will come in third, Jennifer will come in fourth, and Betty will come in fifth. And that's the big J1 shocker, is that the judges will say, Betty Pariso, we're no longer looking for your look. You are in fabulous condition. You are a wonderful bodybuilder, but it's not the look we're going for. And we can't put you second and Tazzy sixth. And we can't put Kathy first and Jeannie and the Mo, Larry, and Curly, the three Bobsy twins, Jeannie, Dina, and Jennifer, separated from the first place. And my guess is that the top four are all going to go to current criteria girls: Kathy LaFrancois, Jeannie, Dina, and Jennifer Sedia. Betty Pariso fifth, Tazzy Colum sixth. And there you have it from Big J1.
Well, Big J, we might have to have you back on to see how close you are in your prediction. He does. It was very good, very thorough.
Well, we're going to try. Thank you, ladies, and I'd be glad to come on at any point in time. And if you ever want to, and I can get permission from my bosses to discuss some of the other things that Big J1's been involved in, we'll be glad to have that conversation at a later point.
Well, Joel, thank you so much for your time. We look forward to seeing you this weekend and seeing how close you are in predictions. I couldn't have done it better myself, and nor would I want to, because I have the I want everybody to love me rule.
That's right.
And I can't emotionally handle it if anybody doesn't, so I guess that rules me out of ever doing predictions, Chrissy. But I do want to say thank you all for listening to our 10th anniversary episode. We hope you enjoyed it. We want to thank our guests, Felicia Romero, Nicole Wilkins-Lee, and of course, Big J1, for stopping by. And until next week, remember, Muscle Girls, Inc., it's not just a radio show.
It is who we are.
Muscle Girls, Inc. is an RXMuscle.com presentation. Listen to Colette Nelson and Chrissy Chin every week at the same time. Be sure to download this and all of our radio shows at our website, RXMuscle.com. This has been Muscle Girls, Inc.